I have a message this morning that Lord started me off about three or four months ago, I should say. I mentioned it to the pastor. I said, Lord's given me a sermon. He says, good, you can preach it on this date. So I love it when the Lord gives you a sermon. You know, the great Spurgeon said the most difficult thing about preaching was coming up with a subject. So when the Lord gives you a subject to teach on, it's really enjoyable because you know that He wants you to give that out for you and for me. What I'm about to preach on this morning, folks, is just as much for me as it is for you. I've learned so much in studying this about myself, and I hope that that you can apply it to yourself also. But if you will, turn to James 5:16. And in James 5:16, we're going to the last part of that verse. And this verse continuously stuck in my head until I finally gave up and began to study it. And it says in James 5:16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for watching over our loved ones. And we thank you for this church, Lord, that we can come together and worship you as a body, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice you've made for us that we can come before the throne, Lord, and pray. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Thank you for your word and for the understanding of it, Lord, for the preaching by others, by the teaching of others, Lord, so that we can know you better and to learn more about you. Help us this morning, Lord, to know your will in this, to know what you would have us to learn from your word. Ask, Lord, please, to preach through me, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, to lift up your children here that have come to listen to your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is addressing God, speaking to God. Folks, just stop for a minute and think about that. You have the ability to stand before the Creator of heaven and earth and talk to Him. I mean, think about that. I can't go to the governor's house and ask for an audience. I definitely can't get into the presidential White House and ask for an audience there, but I can go to the throne of God and get an audience with Him. That's special, folks. That's special. That's what we have to understand what prayer is. Now, I want to clarify things about this message, what this message is not about. Okay, this message is not about getting up at 5 in the morning and praying. This message is not about praying 3 hours a day. This message is not about your physical position when you pray. I don't know if you folks have ever run into that. I've heard sermons about that, you know. The proper way to pray. Show me scripture on that, and I'll follow it. That's fine, but that's not what my message is about this morning. That's not what the Lord led me to preach about this morning. What he did want me to preach about is your and my mental and spiritual state when you are truly in need. Now, in James 4:3, it says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, we pray a lot of time about a lot of things we want, don't we? Anybody pray for a brand new car, new house, big boat? Come on, folks. We've asked the Lord about these things. But this is not what we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about pleasing, you know, our lusts. Those things that really are not pleasing to the Lord. They're just pleasing to us. This message is for serious prayer. The previous verses of James speaks on the subjects of suffering, sickness, and sinning. When he gets down to this verse 16, he's already talked about these serious subjects. So when he gets down to here, this is what he's talking about when he's talking about this prayer. A prayer for when we suffer loss of a loved one. When we pray for someone who's addicted to drugs or alcohol or some other physical addiction. This prayer we're talking about here is for sickness, about cancer and heart conditions and all these other things. We're talking about real serious stuff here, folks. These are the subjects of serious prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. Should we pray all the time? Yes, we should pray all the time. We just got done standing up here saying, well, you should pray for the pastor and for the camp down there and for safe traveling mercies. Pray for everything. The Lord loves it when you pray to him because that shows that you have faith in him. He loves to hear from his children. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, even when your children may be at odds with you, it's a great thing for them to pick up the phone or send you a text message saying, hey, how you doing? Just simple like that. God likes that too. He tells us in his word, he wants to hear from us. So I'm not trying to discourage prayer. Prayer is good. Constant prayer is good. But there's a time that we really need God to hear us in our cries. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual prayer. Now here we're talking about an effect, producing an effect, or the effect desired or intended. We want God to hear our prayers, and we want him to respond to them. We or someone we care about has a great need, and we want God to fill that need. But we have to ask ourselves, is fulfilling that need the will of God? That's the big question of this, folks. Big question of this prayer. We're getting down serious. We want God to hear us. I don't know if you've been there, folks, but there's not too many times I've been there, but I've been there where you're at the end of the road and you got no place to go and there's no way out. And you're going to God and saying, God, I really, really need your help here. There's nothing else I can do. I know my experience has been with my kids. I can understand how God gets so frustrated with me. I get so frustrated with my kids. Yeah, folks, is it the will of God for this to take place? for a serious prayer for you knowing that God is going to respond to your prayer, you have to know, is it God's will? You see, God can't go against his will. You can't ask God to do something that's against his character. God, I don't want you to save that person. That person needs to go to hell, Lord. Don't give him the gospel. Have we read about people in the Bible that have done just that? Yeah. Don't save Nineveh. They're a wicked people. It has to be in God's will. If we're going to expect a prayer to be answered, it has to be within his will. And that's so important. That's so fundamental to prayers. As Robert Law wrote, prayer is not getting man's will done in earth. It's getting God's will done on earth. That's what real prayer is about. Are you praying for a lost soul? Is it God's will that a lost soul be saved? Yeah. It says right there in the Bible. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. I've heard this before, Barney. I'm praying for this child of mine, this grandchild of mine, a cousin of mine, brother, sister, whatever. I'm praying that they get saved. What can I do? You're doing what's right. You're praying for God's will in their life. That's what he wants. You can expect an answer to that. Now, that person still has free will to resist God. But your prayer guarantees that God's working on it. Why? How do I know that? Because his word tells me it's guaranteed. I've asked him to do his will. He wants to do his will. So I'm going to get some effect of that. He's going to work on that person. Are you praying for your neighbor? Is it God's will that you pray for your neighbor? Yeah. It says in Mark 12:31, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you pray for yourself? Yeah. So should you be praying for your neighbor? Yeah, that's what God says you should be. You should be loving him, praying for him. Are you praying for a car? Is it God's will that you have a car? Maybe. Now, if you're just praying for a newer model because you don't like the older model, you're going to have a hard time proving that in Scripture. Okay? But sometimes a car is necessary. Joshua there. Does he need a car? Yeah, he needs a car. Why does he need a car? Because he's wanting to go and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that the will of God? Yes, it is. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So it's God's will that he go and preach the gospel. So that's within God's will. You got a car? Yeah, he's got a car. He's got a car. God gave him a car. So it's in God's will. Now, are you praying for a loved one to be healed? Oh, here's where we really, really have a gray area. Because what if it's God's will that that loved one goes on to heaven? Are you ready to go before God and say, God, your will be done in this situation? Those are serious prayers, folks. Because some of us just don't have that courage. Some of us just don't have the faith that we need to put in God that he's going to do the right thing. So, an effectual prayer is one that is in step with God's will. And then how do we know God's will? We just went to his word to find out his will. We have God's will, folks. It's, you know, it's, I wish God would show, you know, what he has willed for me. Read your Bible. Well, that doesn't help. Well, read it more. Well, that doesn't help. Read it more. Folks, I cannot tell you God's will for me. Now, I've surrendered to the ministry 13 years ago, I think it was. I'm just now getting ordained. I may never have a church. I never may preach beyond this. I don't know God's will for me, except that I know he wants me right here, right now, behind this pulpit, trying to convey to you what he's taught to me. I don't have to know the future that God wills for me. I just have to know God's will for me right now. Because he may call me home before tomorrow. So I have to concentrate on his will right now. Back to James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. Anybody know what fervent is? That's hot, boiling. I like to think of it as passionate. That's really crying out to the Lord. If you go back, I was looking up crying to the Lord in the Bible. And over and over and over again, it says that the Lord heard the cries of his people. Now these are, folks, these are true. I mean, this was during a time of terrible tribulations. If you look up crying to the Lord, you'll find most of that in Job. Can you imagine what Job went through? You think Job had a passionate prayer to God? You think his prayers were just boiling, just hot, just, please, Lord, what's going on? I've lost everything. My family, my fortune, my lands, I've just, it's all gone. And I was serving you. I was a good man. I was doing what you wanted me to do. And it's all gone. Yeah, folks, I'm sure that was some passionate prayers. Too often our prayers are dutiful, indifferent, half-hearted, cool, or apathetic. Did you find yourself doing that? Preacher sends out a text saying, you know, pray for so-and-so. They have just found out they have cancer. Now, I'm not, folks, I'm just like you. I mean, I'm not stopping on the side of the road and getting off and just crying to the Lord for this person. I am bowing my head. I'm praying. But there comes a time when we need to get down on our knees and pray and say, Lord, we really need your help here. This, of course, is a curse of prosperity. Christianity today has become the church of Laodicea. Look at Revelation 3. Why don't you turn there? I want you to understand our position right now. Look down in Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of the gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see us. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. For zealous therefore, and be zealous therefore, and repent. That's America today, folks. We're so prosperous, we don't need to ask God, do we? And we don't need to beg him. We don't need to get passionate that we got no place else to go, Lord. No, I got good hospitals. I got good doctors, got good medicine. You see how prosperity is really a curse? It's a blessing and a curse together. It's a blessing that God has given us. He's given us doctors, skilled doctors, to do his work. He's given us medicine to heal our bodies. But where's God? We put him aside. We don't get passionate about this. What did it say? It said, be zealous. But we're not that. Back to James 5:16. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm sorry, got lost there. This is why God sends us trials and tribulations. When you have no one else to turn to but God, your prayers become hot and passionate for him to hear your prayers. Folks, today, we're so prosperous today. And yet, we have people around the world that are just starving to death. I was listening to radio the other day about, I think it's Venezuela, a great social country. Where now, women stand for hours upon hours through the day just to get powdered milk for their children. They're just swimming in oil down there, and they're starving to death. You think those folks are crying out to the Lord? I think their prayers are pretty passionate when they go before the Lord. James says in 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? God knows when everything else is taken away, your faith increases. It has to. There's only one place you can turn to, and that's God. Now, ask yourself this. When was the last time that you physically cried when you prayed? I remember a time when I cried. I broke down and cried. I was mad at the Lord. I was angry. My kids, I couldn't do anything with them. And I knew they were going the wrong way. I knew the trouble that they were going to get into. There's nothing I could do about it. got mad at him. But when I was done, he said, "It's okay, Barney, I heard you." And he did. Did he get him out of trouble? No. They went ahead and got in trouble. But you know, he said, "Barney, I'm taking care of him. I love him too." I didn't worry about it anymore. He gave me the peace that goes beyond understanding. Because he was my last resort. Folks, we're in a situation now. Christ is on his way back. Look around you. Look at the world. I mean, somebody came to me this morning and said, "Has this been a crazy week for the world?" I mean, it's just like one thing after another going crazy. And who's going to stop it? It's only getting worse. Folks, you mark my words. We're going to see more terrorist attacks in this country. You mark my word. In my lifetime, I will have religious police in the back pew listening to my sermons, listening to the pastor's sermons, listening to sermons to see if they teach that homosexuality or other sins are really sins. It's coming, folks. It's already happening. I think it's up in Washington that they've stated that they consider that hate speech, even in church. The world is just, I mean, it's going down the toilet real quick. Do we have to worry? No, we're Christians. Lord said he's coming back to get us. But we've got a lot of people that haven't found the Lord as their Savior. And we need to get passionate about them. We need to be going to the Lord and begging him for his help. Again, he may not fulfill your prayer the way you want it to, but he will give you the peace that he has heard your prayer and that he is working on it. Prayer of a righteous man. I love this because I applied this to me. This is James 5:16, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is a righteous man? Is this someone who does good? You know, someone who builds hospitals and builds orphanages and gives to the poor. And we have so many billionaires today that, you know, they do some good stuff. I commend them for it. But does that make them righteous in God's eyes? No. It says in Isaiah 64:6, "But ye are all as an unclean thing, and all of your righteousness is as filthy rags." So there's nothing that we can do that's righteous except accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's where it starts. That's where it's all about. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is applied to us when we accept him as our Savior. In Romans 3:22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe." Ephesians 4:24 says, and "that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness." In Philippians 3:9 it says, "And be found in him that have mine own righteousness, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So a righteous man is one who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not enough that we accept Jesus Christ, but we also must live in Jesus Christ. How do we live in righteousness? How do we live in Jesus? By submitting to the Holy Spirit. You know, we have Christians today that got saved, and they are saved. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you can tell from their lives, they've walked away from Christ. They said, "Well, you know, yeah, I'm saved, but I can't read my Bible. Don't have time to read my Bible. I'm Sunday is my only day of rest. Can't go to church." Well, you know, that neighbor, he keeps his kids cry all night long, keep me up because they're hungry, and I can't get up to go to work. Yeah, you have Christians that are like this. They're not living in Christ. You think God is listening to them when they pray? That's why I hear this all the time, folks. People that have walked away from Christ, and, "Well, I pray all the time." I bet that's an effectual prayer. Does God hear those prayers? Sure, he hears those prayers. He hears all the prayers. But he's saying, "You're not following me. You're not doing in your life what I've told you to do." It's also being righteous is doing the will of God. In Matthew 12:50 says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." That is doing the will of God. In John 5:30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge." This is Christ talking. "And my judgment is just, because I see not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Jesus, I came to do the Father's will. How do we excuse ourselves from doing God's will? When Jesus himself couldn't do it, but we do it. And part of God's will is also cleansing yourself. We just talked about Christians that were wayward. How does God hear their prayers? They got to clean themselves up, folks. How do they clean themselves up? They go back to Calvary. They go back to Christ and they say, "Forgive me, for I have sinned." In James 4:7-10, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Folks, you got sin in your life and you're wanting God's help. God says, "Don't come in my temple. You're bringing sin. You're bringing that in. You're bringing all that garbage in." Tell me, and I applied this to myself, folks. This is where I come up with, because I ask myself this. If I was invited to the White House to speak for my community, would I show up filthy, dirty, sweaty, in old clothes. And, oh, Mr. President, I want to talk to you. No. What would you do? You clean yourself up, put on your best clothes, put on your best manners, because you're going to the White House. Now, I'm not talking about the occupant of the White House. I'm talking about the White House, okay? Why, when we need God's help in something, we show up covered in our own sins? What? We show up filthy, dirty. God can't look on sin, and yet we're trying to get in the door. Lord, I need your help. You won't even get the dirt off your feet. God is holy. What did he tell Moses when he met him at the burning bush? He said, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. So before we go to God for serious prayer, we need to clean ourselves up. Get this picture in your head, folks. You're going to the throne of God. That's God. Beyond our imagination. Christ on his right hand. And we go in there. Hey, God, I got a problem I need to talk to you about. No, folks, you better see yourself on your knees before a holy God. The filth that you are. Are we saved? Yes, we're saved. We're given the righteousness of God, of Christ. But we still carry our own baggage in this world. We carry our sins in this world, and we need to get rid of them by asking God to forgive us. So we need to clean ourselves up. In 1 John 1, 5 through 10, it says, then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I was listening to the radio the other day, and a gentleman was on there. He's an open homosexual, leader in the church. He says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I just don't believe homosexuality is a sin. If you don't recognize what God says is a sin, then what right do you have to stand before God and ask him of anything? If you don't believe God's word about your sin, you won't believe his word by faith that he will answer your prayers. You see how it works, folks? You have to believe God's word. And we have to look at God's word to see what sins that we carry with us and confess those sins to be cleansed of them. Arthur W. Pink wrote, we may say that prayer's principal branches are humiliation, supplication, and adoration. Humility is a major part of prayer. Remembering that we are sinful creatures addressing a holy Creator. Picture standing before the throne and asking God for help. What effectual, fervent prayer do you have on your heart this morning? What is it that's burning in your heart that only God can help you with? And not just that prayer, but all the prayers. We're praying for camp. We're praying for safe traveling mercies. Remember that whenever you bow your head to God, you're standing before that throne. And that's why we have to live a righteous life every single day, confessing our sins and doing God's will on this earth so that we can have access to the throne. Let's bow our head in prayer. Father, we thank you so very much, Lord, for your words. We thank you for your entire word, Lord. We thank you for the living word of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you this morning, every minute of the day. We can walk to the throne, Creator of all things, and talk to you. Lord, it's unimaginable that we have that privilege and honor, Lord. But you gave us that because we put our faith in Jesus, and Jesus made it possible because he sacrificed so very much. Help us, Lord, to understand what we need to do your will on this earth. Help us to understand our life, Lord, and your will in it. Help us to pray properly, Lord, that your will be done. And help us accept, Lord, that will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.